This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Tonight we bring you highlights from two homecoming ceremonies for Olympic bronze medalist Mona McSharry. Coming up later, we'll listen back to how Mona's home village of Grange in North Sligo welcomed her home from Paris on Tuesday evening. But first, two Wednesday night celebrations in Ballyshannon, hosted by Ballyshannon Marlins Swimming Club, Mona's home swimming club. She's still a member there, and Ballyshannon is where she went to secondary school, not to mention her grandmother, Marie, is a native of the town. Wednesday's event took place in the Market Yard, but the evening began with a parade through Ballyshannon Town Centre. Well, we're backstage here in the Market Yard for Mona McSharry's Marlins Swimming Club homecoming, and I'm surrounded here by a dozen future Mona McSharry's and Mike McSharry's, the young male and female stars of Marlins Swimming Club. Are you enjoying the evening?
Yeah!
Tell me about the parade. What did you see?
It's class! Up and down! Up and down!
What did you see on the parade?
Mona!
We saw Mona and lots of people.
And you guys were marching in the parade, were you?
Yes!
So who's the best swimmer here in Marlins Swimming Club?
Me! I'm in senior swim, Mona!
And are you proud of Mona being part of your club?
Yes!
So what are you going to do now for the rest of the night when she comes on stage? Do you think she'll swim in Los Angeles in 4 years' time?
Yes!
Enjoy the night, guys. Thank you very much.
I know it's an emotional night, but can I say this since I have the microphone, Mona, that we are so proud of you. This has been a journey for you, your mom, your dad, your family, your coaches. But you have, you know, in a world where there's a lot of negativity, you started the positivity for our country for the best couple of weeks of our lives in Paris. So I know I said it in Dublin, but I want to say it in Donegal. Thank you on behalf of the people of Ireland for what you brought to you, your family, and to all of us. Simply the best, ladies and gentlemen. Three cheers for Olympic bronze medalist Mona McSharry. Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Up Donegal and up Sligo!
What did you make of that evening?
Oh, fabulous evening. Fair play to Marlins. You know, fabulous welcome home, I suppose, really, for Mona, you know. She spent 6 years here in Colum Kale and has swam for practically all of her life with Marlins. So it's great night.
And the people of Ballyshannon, Donegal, they really have taken Mona McSharry to their hearts.
I'm exceptionally proud of Mona. How could you not? She's a fabulous young lady, wonderful person.
Great, it was a brilliant night. Great to see Mona. It's great what she's done for the town and for the club, and I'm sure it'll inspire a lot of kids going forward.
Real Ballyshannon pride here.
Absolutely. I mean, it's massive for the town. It's great to see all the kids out too, and I'm sure they all really look up to her.
Really good, yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, yeah, it's great to be here.
Ballyshannon people and Donegal people have taken a real shine to Mona McSharry, haven't they?
Definitely, yeah. She's an inspiration, you know. She just... so friendly anytime you meet her, and you know, she come up to chat the kids, and she really is something else.
Would it make you want to start swimming?
Absolutely. I wish I had it done years ago. Too late now. No, she's just brilliant. She's just brilliant. She's really good, and she's really, really lovely and modest, and yeah, she's great.
Oh, great evening. Brilliant to see such a crowd here in Ballyshannon, and a great performance from by everybody, you know. Great for Mona McSharry, absolutely delighted. It's great for the Marlin Club here in Ballyshannon also, so a great job.
Right, we have two young men here wearing Airua GA Club bibs. They're on stewarding duty, and they are?
Dylan Owens.
Tomás Keown.
What do you make of this Mona McSharry homecoming tonight, Dylan?
Oh, it's brilliant, seeing as
the last one, she came home unlucky, and we still give her a good cheer. And now that she's come home with a medal, a bronze medal, it's just as good as any of them. And the crowd here is massive. I haven't seen this many people in Ballyshannon in a long time.
And it seems every sporting club is here. It's not just the swimming club. It's the local GA club, the soccer boys, the basketball. They're all here.
Yeah. See, we're all a family here in Ballyshannon. And we always look out for each other. And we always be together when there's an achievement going on in Ballyshannon.
Now, you look like two Croke Park stewards here. Is nobody getting in without a pass here tonight, Dylan?
No one's getting in tonight now unless you're known by Mona. You're not getting in here now. We are making sure. There's about 100 kids here screaming Mona, I'm sure you can hear. Have to make sure they don't break that gate now. And Mona, stay safe.
Spoken like a future Airua club chairman. What do you think?
Yeah, very much so.
Are you swimmers yourselves, guys?
No, I would have done it during school. Like, we used to go to the local where Mona trains. We used to go there during school to do lessons, but wouldn't be much of a swimmer now. Be more kind of into the GAA.
But it does show you guys what's possible. A local girl down the road can achieve high things. There's no reason why you guys, whether it's in Gaelic football or whatever your sporting discipline, you can take inspiration from that.
Yeah, you can. Very much so.
We'll let you back to your job here. They're breaking through the barrier here, folks. We'll let you go back to your job. Thank you. Let's have a word with Niamh Kennedy, Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council. These are the evenings Donegal loves, aren't they?
Absolutely. We are just so, so proud of Mona and the Maryland Swimming Club here in Ballyshannon. Delighted to see so many people about and such great positivity, and the rain has stayed away, which is fantastic. So we're delighted and looking forward to hearing her say a few words and have a welcome for her. The band, the Killybegs band, has been here too, so it's fantastic to see them and all of the young dancers and singers. It's been a great evening, great event.
And they're not just here from Ballyshannon or Bundoran, they're here from Teeling, from Glencolum Kill, from Donegal Town. They've come out of the woodwork.
Absolutely. Everybody's so, so proud. It's a great buzz and she's done us all so proud. We're just so thankful that she got where she got.
While she was born and raised in Sligo, she has a very special affinity with Ballyshannon. This was the town where she went to school, where she honed her swimming craft in the Lakeside Centre across the road for so many years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe she was a very early morning swimmer and she got great support from the Maryland Swimming Club. So it's fantastic that she had the dedication to do that, to keep going. And her family must be so proud. Everybody's so proud of her. I mean, I don't know her personally, but I feel like I do. I mean, it's fantastic. And she's just got a great, great buzz about her and great personality.
And at this back to school time of year, it's given the local community a great lift, isn't it?
It has indeed. Everybody's out today, small, little and large, just great, young and old. We're just delighted. And it's just had a, it's finished off the summer in a nice way. And I suppose back to school, as you've said. So let's just celebrate now for the rest of the evening.
And one man here who's here to greet her and celebrate in her Ballyshannon homecoming this evening was on your television screens during the Olympic Games, analysing every stroke, every heat, every semi-final, every final, living every length and stroke with her during the Paris Olympics. And that's Andrew Bree, two-time Irish Olympian in 2000 in Sydney and again in 2008 in Beijing, and a man with a Sligo connection. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But Andrew, welcome. You just had to be here this evening.
I had to. I mean, after all the Olympians did so well, Austin, it's been a beautiful experience. And then local club, the Marlins, reached out and asked would I come along, and I couldn't say no, of course. Look, it's a beautiful evening here in Ballyshannon, and the crowds just blow me away. I'm getting goosebumps, and I'm only backstage, so I can't wait until Mona arrives.
Have you had a chance to talk to Mona since Paris?
No, I haven't. No. I've wrote her a card and a letter because I think it was more personal than sending a text on Instagram or something. But it's been a long connection with Mona. I was here years ago when she was only 12 years old for a swimming clinic, and then we both swam the same event, 100, 200 metres breaststroke, and then she ended up at the same university in Tennessee. So, yeah, it's as I said on TV, the stars have aligned, and they did align for Mona, and long may she dwell in this success.
Yours was the analysis we listened out for during the games. People in Ballyshannon here or in Grange and elsewhere looking for guidance. Is she swimming well? Does she look good? You know, you've been there. You've experienced the Olympic Games as a competitor.
Yeah.
But it's hard for you to take a step back and not get caught up in the emotion of it all.
Oh, of course. It was almost myself and Gráinne were in the studio, and we're like, right, well, She's in the final, but then when you see it happen, it's pure magic, and it's a feeling that you can't, it can never be replaced. And the fact that she came back so well in the last 20 metres and closed out by 1/100th of a second, I still think even if she had come fourth, there'd still be the same amount of people out here. You know, it's just that appreciation and respect for her journey and her club team here, and then her family and everything coming together. And that's what the Olympics, I feel, are always about. They're showcasing not years of work. This is 8-12 years of work, even longer, to get into the Olympic final and secure the bronze for Ireland. And it's just magical. I absolutely love it. I love Donegal. I mentioned it was my spirit world, and it's the truth. You know, I get up to Falkara and up the Downings, I get into the sea, and I look around and I'm like, this cannot be real. First time I ever arrived and seen it on the water and hit the mountains, it felt like I was just in a different world.
We're hearing that beautiful Ulster Little Helens Bay accent, but the name Bree, Andrew, is a very famous Sligo surname, and you have Sligo blood coursing through your veins. Would you mind reminding listeners who may not be aware of your Yates County connection?
Yeah, Maeve Bree at the Smoker's Own. Not the healthiest name for a shop, but this tobacconist and shop, you know, and bookshop and everything down in Grattan Street in Sligo Town. And every summer we used to come down here. Now, I'm not going to lie, it was always raining, but we still loved it.
Your dad, Brett Barney, is a Sligo man.
And Barney's the Sligo man, and he grew up in Sligo, went to Summerhill, I think is the college, and then went on to join the Bank of Ireland. That's how I met my mum, and she's a Galway woman. So this whole West Coast, it's in my DNA.
You'll have to move down here one of these days.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Andrew, lovely to see you here for Mona's Ballyshannon homecoming. We're going to grab a quick word with her coach, who lives not too far away from here at all. In fact, she spent much of her life here in the Ballyshannon area, and that's Grace Mead. What have you made of the reception for Mona and for you here this evening?
It's been absolutely amazing. You know, it's the atmosphere here. There's so many young kids out here, and it's the crowds that are here. The evening is absolutely beautiful. Thank God the weather is fabulous as well, which really adds to the atmosphere. It's absolutely electric here. It's lovely to see all the young ones out, being inspired by Mona. And, you know, as you say, future Mona McSharries are standing around us at the moment and dreaming big like she did when she was their age. It's wonderful.
And as we look at the scene in the market yard here for this Olympic homecoming, Grace, I'm reminded of across the road, the Lakeside Centre in Ballyshannon, the pool where you coached Mona for so many years. There would have been so many mornings, dark ones, dreary ones, where you'd have lifted the flower pot, found the key, opened it at 5:15 in the morning when there's nobody on the streets of Ballyshannon. It's so different tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's complete chalk and cheese, you know. There were mornings, yeah, you come down the town on your own, very dark, drizzly mornings, and into the pool, as you say, just the two of us, up and down the pool for a couple of hours. Same again when you leave, it's still dark. But tonight, it's just, as I say, polar opposite. You know, it's a beautiful evening, the atmosphere is amazing, and the kids are just, the smiles around here is just something else.
I know you're a modest person and you want to let Mona take the limelight, and well, she should. She is the athlete and the Olympic medal winner after all. But she does talk about the team behind her, of which you're a central part to it. Where has the drive that you had to push her along and to keep going yourself? Because I'm sure it demands a commitment from the coach as much as the athlete, his or herself, to get to the final destination. Where does that drive come from?
I'm a sports fanatic myself. You know, I played a lot of football in my early years, swam when I was much younger, and I'm a very, very competitive person myself as well. And I love coaching, I love teaching, and I just love being able to contribute to somebody progressing. You know, okay, Mona got to the Olympics, but I love to see kids make it to the community games, and if I can have any part of that journey and encourage them and help them, and they might learn something from me, I just love to see that progress in people, you know, whether it's kids or adults. It's just something I personally really enjoy seeing and doing. So, but also with Mona, me being as competitive, probably as her, the two of us are quite competitive. We kind of drove each other, you know, over the years, and we set goals, and there were always the same goals for both that we wanted. So yeah, we kind of worked exceptionally well as a team. Now there's a bigger team, not just me, but she had a big team around her, you know, as well. I built a huge team around her, you know, of strength and conditioning coach Sean Flannery, and you know, her psychologist and nutritionists and all that. As the years went on, the team grew bigger and bigger, and all the Marlins coaches, you know, of past and present too, all contributed to this journey as well along the way. So you know, the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre were very, very good to us. They gave us all the pool time that we needed, because we did need a lot more than what Marlins could offer. So we had to build a program outside of Marlins for Mona, and they were very, very, very good in what they gave to us. Anytime we wanted the pool, a lane in the pool, like we trained in there amongst, you know, kids' fun sessions. There was one lane for us, and the kids were jumping around with floats right beside us, and we just got on with our little program, you know. But we were never refused pool time, and you know, thanks to Caroline, Rosie, and all the staff there, we were very, very fortunate to have that.
Listening to you talk about your competitive streak, like Mona, it wasn't off the wind you took it, Grace Mead, because a few metres behind you, your father Sean is here just to watch the festivities tonight, and I'm sure he's proud as punch of you, his daughter, what you've done with Mona in this Olympic cycle. Sean, of course, a three-time All-Ireland winner with Galway Gaelic footballers back in the 1960s. He's made Ballyshannon his home here at the Beleek Road. So you've had that sporting heritage to latch onto as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of sport in our family. I mean, as I said, Dad was one of the footballers on the Galway team of the 60s, and I started playing football now, not until I'm in my 20s, because there was no girls football when I was young, but of the younger age. So, but I loved it, really enjoyed it, played for Donegal for 10 years and had a blast playing that, and played the same position as my dad, which is lovely, and he takes great pride in that.
Number six,
yeah. So yeah, it was pretty cool. So yeah, and I just really enjoyed that, you know. Yeah, it was great.
And also joining us on the stage, the lady that's been a bonus side for many years, a very special coach. Welcome, please, from Ballyshannon, Merlin, so we call Grace Mead.
Sean Mead, you won three All-Ireland football titles with Galway back in the 1960s. Your daughter, Grace Mead, is Mona McSharry's swimming coach, and I'm just wondering what you think of what Grace has achieved with her swimmer after these Olympic Games. What your thoughts are about that?
It's fantastic, you know, because when Grace was younger, I remember she was playing football for Donegal, and she was the captain of the Donegal team, and she played in the same position as myself, number six. And they played in three All-Irelands, but they didn't win any of them. But I used to go to the games. Mary, my wife, and myself used to go to all her games. And Grace was always a great athlete. So then when she started coaching, and especially Mona McSharry, it was very exciting for me to see her and to know what they're doing. Because the time to put in is unbelievable. They go off maybe at 4:30 or 5 o'clock up to the north for a 50 millimeter pool. And when they come back, Mona went to the college, into school here, and Grace would go to work. So they put a great effort into it.
And as someone who won three All-Irelands with Galway in the 1960s, you know about effort and commitment and the time you've got to put in. I know it was a different era, but sportsmen and women have a share something in that respect.
Well, they do, yeah, because we had a great squad, you know, there were a great crowd of boys, and we'd have good fun just getting ready to go out to train in Tuam, and we'd have a bit of slagging and all that going on. So they were very funny, and the funny thing about it was none of them took a drink, only three took a drink, and after the game, I'll say. Well, not before. But I know they're very, very good. It's a great time, you know, for me and for the team, of course. And the success was fantastic. And the support we got that time was unbelievable, you know.
You've lived here in Ballyshannon for much of your life, raised your family. So you've seen Grace's own development. You mentioned she was a footballer. As a swimming coach, she has the same sort of drive poolside as you did on the football field?
She would have. Oh, she was very determined, no matter what sport she was in, you know. Very good. And I used to watched her. Mary was alive at the time. My wife is dead now, of course. But we used to watch her going off, and we were wondering, that's something. That's fantastic to see her at that hour of the morning heading up the north of Ireland, for example, you know. But it's just wonderful. And then, now the success that came out of it is fabulous for me, you know, at the moment. You know, it's wonderful.
It's sure, and you must be a proud dad to see what your coach has, what your daughter has achieved as Mona McSharry's swimming coach.
Oh, indeed I have. Oh, I'm very proud. And very proud, you know, and it hit the papers all over the... I got a paper from Port Laoise, because I worked at TV Board of Mona in Port Arlington, and my wife was from Mount Millie. Mary Bloomer was her name. And the paper had the whole thing, and he said... stating Grace's achievement and how she was related to Sean Mead, the three in a row All-Ireland player, and her mother was from Mount Millie, Mary Bloomer. I thought it was fantastic to see that in a Laois paper. You know, that time. No wonder the coverage they got all over was fantastic, you know.
Tell me finally, do you have Pádraic Joyce's phone number? Maybe you should send Grace Mead up to Galway. She might give a team talk that might help Galway in 2025 get over the finish line.
Well, they want to get somebody to talk to. they should have won that game, you know, I thought. You know, I can't understand how many wides they had, you know, at the second half. Yeah. And that's not like a Galway team years ago anyway. But they were unfortunate not to win the All-Ireland.
And finally, as a man of leisure, Sean, these days, are you enjoying watching sport, whether it's swimming at the Olympics or Gaelic football with your beloved Galway?
Oh, I love watching sport on TV, you see, when you're living on your own. And I must say, I follow all sports, soccer, rugby, you know, golf, of course. And I used to play a lot of golf. I was captain of Bundoran Golf Course for a year or two. And don't play down because I got a muscle injury in my hip, so hopefully I get back to playing it. But yeah, I love all sport, no matter what it is.
Well, Mona McSharry on the stage at the end of the Ballyshannon homecoming. Tuesday night was special in Grange, but you're going to have to move to this town one of these years.
I know, yeah, isn't it crazy? Like, if people are lucky enough to get, you know, one homecoming, and I can get two big homecomings where so many people come out and support and are committed and dedicated to your dream, and it's just so exciting, you know. And like I said yesterday, and you know, again today, like, they're all a part of it, like, everyone there. And you see so many faces you haven't seen for years, but like, that were there during your journey, and it's so heartwarming.
Apart from the obvious piece of silverware you're wearing around your neck, why do you think the people of Ballyshannon have taken you to their hearts in the way they have?
I don't know, you know, I like to think that a lot of my teen years I basically lived here, so, you know, a lot of my life. but, you know, I don't know, I'd like to think that, you know, hopefully I'm just inspiring people and, you know, being a good person as well, and like, that's, you know, maybe made people connect, which would be really nice. And you know, it's just great to be able to be an inspiration for them.
And you said on stage tonight, finally, I feel like I have two homes here. You weren't lying.
No, I know, yeah, it's crazy, like, it is, it's so amazing to have that, you know, and to really feel like I have so many great friends that live here in Ballyshannon, so I feel like I'm always here, like, I was training here, like, the pool's here, so it really is. Like,
your granny's from here.
I know, exactly, you know. I'll put one foot in each village, and then there we go.
Mona McSharry on the gig rig in Ballyshannon on Wednesday. The evening before, hundreds of friends, connections and well-wishers gathered in her home village of Grange to welcome her back with her Olympic medal.
Can't even put it to words, honestly. You know, it's just so nice to see all the support. I can't even, I'm trying to fully take it in right now. And it's just amazing to see all the faces, all the people that have come out here to celebrate. Like, it's just great.
Has it sunk in for you? Have you digested it now at this stage? It's been a month, more or less. What has life been like for you in the past 4 weeks?
It's been crazy. I think it's so hard to really fully digest it. It's been something that I've been training for such a long time, but to actually then do it and it be over is it's kind of weird. But you know, I'm definitely taking moments to try and kind of sit back and watch and look back over things and remind myself that it actually did happen, rather than just kind of fall back into the usual day to day, you know. It's been an unbelievable month. I mean, just the support, the congratulations, the well done from everybody reaching out has been great.
What have you been doing since Paris, since the homecoming? Have you had a chance to rest, to settle down, to be by yourself?
Yeah, I strategically had a little vacation back to Tennessee just to see my dog and spend some time with friends that I hadn't seen all summer, and you know, just relax a little bit before coming back here. And that was really nice, just to, I think, mentally and physically recover after the games, because it's a long build up and it's a long 2 weeks. So it was nice to just wind down for a little bit.
Yeah, just to have a bit of space.
Yeah, definitely. Just, you know, recuperate a little bit and then be ready to go, come home and just be all excited about all this great stuff.
Do you feel a different person now?
I don't think so. You know, I feel like I'm the same person. You know, just achieved a really big goal that I was dreaming for a long time, but I don't think it changes me. You know, it just proves to me that all the hard work and all the dedication, you know, and it really did pay off, and that I can do something like that, and you know, all the time, and it is worth it, and to be able to progress, and it's just so nice to be able to look back at everything I've done. And I have done a bit of that, like reflecting on back when I trained in Ballyshannon or was doing the community games, and you know, it seems like a lifetime ago, but they were the stepping stones to getting here. So
well, Clifney Grange Community Games are here tonight, and we can see lots of them. The one magical moment for you is that you were the first Ireland medal winner at the Paris 2024 Games. And I'm sure you got a sense of it from mum and dad at home and your friends at home. You kick-started a great party in Ireland, because it was almost like a breathe out. The place went a bit mad.
Yeah, I heard it a couple of times, the phrase that I don't really know what's going on back home. You know, like you think you really understand, but we're in such a bubble that we don't really, you know, and I wasn't really on social media, so I wasn't seeing anything of what was going on back here. But to, you know, to be a part of a group of people that have been the most successful at the Olympics, and then to be the one that was able to kickstart it all is great, you know. And it's so exciting to even just be one of those athletes, and you know, even getting to meet the other medal winners. Like it's a great experience, and you know, I couldn't have asked for anything more.
And what was the reaction like when you went back to the Olympic Village, the athletes' village, that night with the medal around your neck and being greeted by your teammates from Ireland as you came back with a piece of silverware?
Well, I got back to the village at about 2 o'clock in the morning, so
nobody's up.
No, very few people up. And I, to be fair to the staff on the swim team, like they all stayed up with me, and I was able to have dinner. Could you call it dinner at 2 o'clock in the morning? I don't know, but so I wasn't alone, which was really nice. But you know, I started to bump into a lot of Irish athletes the next day, then the following morning, and all of them said, "Well done," were coming up behind me and saying congratulations. So you know, it was just great. I think going as part of a smaller country and such a connected team, you know, you are invested in everybody's like races, everyone's events, whatever they're doing, you're kind of watching it and you're keeping track. So that is definitely really nice to be a part of that. We're a really close-knit community, and that's something that I love about being a part of the Irish team.
You showed lovely emotion on the night of the medal and around these Olympic Games, and it was natural emotion. I'm wondering what was going through your head when you were on the podium listening. Okay, it was a South African anthem, but I mean, it was your night as well, as much as anybody else, as an Olympic medal winner. What were the thoughts crystallising in your head that night?
I think that moment was when it started to set in a little bit, because before that, like, you know, you get out of the water and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this has just happened. And then you get moved through media and they're asked, how do you feel? And I'm like, I don't know how I feel. This is crazy. And then you're straight to like the podium prep area and you're getting ready. Does my hair look good? Am I like, all? And then, you know, when you get onto the podium, that's the first minute that you're really taking it all in. And yeah, this when the South African anthem started playing, I lost it, started crying. I couldn't believe it. They had this really nice tune that they played for all of the medal winners ceremonies, and when we even went to other events and other nights, every time I heard it I was brought right back there, which was really nice, to that moment on the podium. But no, it was just unbelievable experience. I think that was a great time to just kind of take it all in, like look around, watch the Irish flag raising, just all of it.
Yeah. And while we were still basking in the euphoria, I know you're going to have a switch off now. You're going to have downtime, have some Mona time, whatever that might be. What is your plan right now? How does Mona McSharry switch off from elite competitive swimming?
It's definitely going to be a lot of traveling, a lot of doing things that, you know, I don't really have as much time to do maybe, or just can't do during, you know, a training season. A lot of hiking and just going exploring, maybe go on a day trip, spend time with my dog. Going to do a 2.5 month road trip with Roisin in America, and we're renting a van, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm definitely excited for that, just to kind of have a plan but not really have a plan for 2.5 months, so it'll be nice.
Okay, so you're going to go off-grid for a spell, are you?
No, I'll be posting stuff. I'll make everyone a bit jealous of where we are. No, it'll be good. Definitely off-grid as an athlete, I guess. I'll just be Mona for a while.
Have you more study to do in Tennessee? Are you doing a master's?
Yeah, I'll be starting my one-year master's in January, so done with school December 2025.
Because you'll know what my next question is going to be. In Paris, in the mix zone after the individual or the women's relay, you did indicate this is most likely my last Olympic Games. And I know you're tired of addressing this question. Part of us are hoping that you will go bungee jumping in Vietnam and just do all the things that you want to do. And then in 18 months' time, you'll be sitting on a beach somewhere and the competitive juices of Mona McSharry might kick in again. Can you see that happening?
That's definitely a possibility. It's going to... Yeah, I don't know. It's funny, like, 2-3 years ago, it's definitely not doing the next Olympics. I'm going to be done right after 2024. And then coming up to 2024, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll do one more year. And then I was like, yeah, I'll definitely do to 2025. And so I don't know, but it's definitely going to be a much more chill 2 years, and then we'll see if I'm still swimming at that point. We'll see if we want to go for another two committed years, and then who knows.
And it was last week your birthday. Mona McSharry turned 24 7 days ago, ladies and gentlemen. Would Grange like to sing happy birthday? I want to bring in your coach in just a moment, but the reason I'm mentioning your birthday is that you're 24 now, so this is my last question about Los Angeles in 2028, I promise, but you'll be 27 in LA, and Tatiana Smith, who won gold in your final, was 27 4 weeks ago. So just think about it. That's all I'm saying. Let's bring in the lady who has morning, noon and night for so many years along the pool, walked up and down the poolside of Marlins Swimming Club in Ballyshannon, not looking for attention, and believe me, she does not seek the attention. Her dad was an All-Ireland winning Gaelic footballer for Galway back in the 60s, so there's talent and success in the coaching house as well as in the swimmer's house. Please welcome Grace Mead. Will you stay for a minute? Is that okay? Grace, I'm wondering, all those years ago in Marlins, or whatever swimming pool it might have been, or whatever training session it might have been, was there a moment when you saw this young Sligo teenager in the pool and you said, yeah, there's something special here? Was there a light bulb moment when she was at Marlins in her younger years?
Yeah, you could see her attitude, as I said, was incredible. You know, her dedication and her willingness to complete the sets perfect. She did everything that was asked of her from a very, very young age. and she obviously was very talented. But when you have that attitude and to go with it, and it's, you know, it's all those ingredients together that, you know, brought her to where she is today.
I'm sure the two of you set goals throughout your career, winning world junior titles and all different competitions that you enter. But I'm wondering, is there a sheet of paper somewhere that says Olympic Games, Olympic final, next Olympic Games, Olympic medal? Does such a document exist?
Well, I don't know. Well, it definitely existed in our minds. It's something we sat down. I realised that, I suppose it was in 2016 when we were up at the trials in Dublin. And I'll never forget, Mona swam a fantastic race and she wasn't happy. She was actually in tears after the race. And I couldn't understand why, but she was so disappointed she missed out in the qualifying time for Rio. And that was, I suppose, what you'd like to call the light bulb moment for me, thinking, oh my God, this kid is really, really determined to get to the Olympics. So we kind of sat down then and we kind of, I like to do it step by step. We focused on the juniors, European and world juniors first. And then we always knew that 2020 would be the Olympics we would go to for experience. And she would train in Ballyshannon with Marlins till then, and then get a program that would bring her to 2024, where she would be on the podium.
And Mona, like, a word on what she has done for your swimming career.
Everything, I would say. I don't know if I would have made it, honestly, without Grace. Like, I remember first sitting down, kind of when we decided that I needed a little bit more than what the club was providing, and Grace said that she was going to commit to that, and kind of from that moment on we just started building like a really strong relationship. And I would say, like now, like, you're one of my best friends, and so that's why we have stayed in really good contact. Like, I love to like bounce ideas off her and just chat to her about life stuff and swimming stuff, and it's just like it's great to be able to kind of have that. And she knows me the best and she knows my swimming the best, and so that's always really helpful.
Niall mentioned three people who are also seated on the stage here at the start of the evening. If you missed that on radio, I'm going to introduce them to you now. And there may be people here in Grange Car Park who are wondering, who are the other three people sitting here? Well, one of them is Mona's brother, Morag McSharry. Morag is a pretty good swimmer himself. And alongside him, Roisin Maguire and Audron O'Hara. And I'm going to invite the three of them to join me here for just a couple of moments, because they swam morning in, afternoon out during their school-going days in Marlin Swimming Club. And they became kind of a quartet when it came to doing extra swimming in their teenage years with Marlin Swimming Club. They'd do a few extra hours in the pool. And we're going to have a quick chat with Mona's swimming buddies from her teenage years. Would you please welcome Audron, Morag and Roisin. How are you, folks? So, Morag, just tell me about how this little quartet evolved in the early years of Mona's swimming journey.
Well, I guess we all met through the club, and then we were just looking for a bit more training, so we said we'd do them extra evenings after school on the Monday, Wednesday and Thursday.
It started from there. But you were all pals, were you?
Yeah, me and Audrey were in the same year, so we would have been friends growing up as well from the club. And Roisin would have been good friends at Mona, so I guess that's how the group came together. And then for relays and competition as well, it worked well for club relays.
And Roisin, you were a year ahead of Mona, I think, in school in Coloch de Columkill in Ballyshannon. Did you spot early on that this girl was pretty special?
Yeah, I suppose every training session she came to was 100% put in. She never came in and was like, oh, I don't feel like doing however many hundreds or whatever. Every day she came in, she gave it 100%, and she didn't leave until it was finished and until everyone else had it finished as well. So yeah, just determined from the start.
Did you ever beat her in a dash up the Marlins pool?
At the very beginning, before she started, maybe her first week in Marlins, that was about it.
You can cling on to that now for the rest of your days. You can dine out on that early success. Audrey, what are your memories of those? Well, they were after school mainly, or were some of them early morning?
Mainly after school. A few mornings on a Friday and Saturday. But we had a great year in 2019 up until COVID. We were training very well, the four of us with Grace. We were doing savage sessions, really good training. And we were all in great condition. We were going to have a great summer, I think. All of us were going to like drop real good times. But then with COVID, there was the summer competitions were all finished. But that was a real great year for us. And then Mona, we had our celebrating party going away to Tennessee shortly after that. And then I suppose we never got to see the real fruit of the hardest of our work. But then obviously Mona took the spotlight then and outshone us all, you know.
Very nice. And I'm wondering, guys, what it was like for ye last month. Wherever you, I don't know where ye were when you watched the Olympic 100 metres breaststroke final, but Roisin, what were you thinking like when you're seeing, you know, we saw the South Africa flag come up, the silver medal flag, and then Ireland McSharry bronze medal. I mean, what sort of sensations going through your mind as someone who trained with her for so many years in Ballyshannon?
I was actually lucky enough to be in the stadium at the time, and I remember going absolutely mental during the race, after the race, and then with all the family and friends behind the podium when she was getting presented with her medal, and it was surreal. There was tears, there was laughing, there was disbelief, and it was just an incredible experience.
It was you hugging and trying to rob Aidan McSharry's wig, was it, in the stadium? I remember that now. And Morag, as her sibling, you know, yourself and Luca have watched this up close and personal, and you would have trained and competed at a very high level. You must have been a very proud McSharry brother.
Oh, super proud. It was an amazing experience over there. Seeing her touch the wall, come up to her, just deep emotions. It was amazing, yeah.
Well, before she heads off on her camper van tour of the highways and byways of the United States, might she get together for one last quartet relay swim, do you think, before she heads away?
Maybe we might head up to Ballyshannon and do a little training session. Remember the old days.
For old time's sake. Well, folks, congrats on the role that she played. Morag, Roisin and Oran, the relay team. Folks, thank you very much. I have three more special people to bring up in a moment before we finish. But Mona probably thinks she was the most interviewed Grange person during the Olympic Games in 2024 in Paris. The reality is she was not, because there was another McSharry who outshone her on radio, on television. What else, Paddy? TikTok? Instagram? Would you please welcome Mona McSharry's granddad, Paddy McSharry.
I had a great time at home, minding all the stock and all the houses as well. Sometimes it was good, but I enjoyed it really. You know, we had a great time. The night of the final, it was great because I knew some of the camera crowd from RTE, like, you know, I'd be very friendly with John McMurrow and that, like, you know, so. Yeah, it was a great evening altogether.
Describe that emotion in your house in North Sligo, watching Mona's Olympic final. Was it emotional, or were you just enjoying every bit of it?
Not really. There was a hush until the race was over, and even after a few seconds until the captains came up, and then we all jumped up and shouted with joy. I think I stayed sitting for a little while in daze, but no, we had a great time, really, and it was nice to have the RT crowd there as well, you know, so, and yourselves, like, you know, it was great, like, you know.
So, what is it like being the proudest granddad in Ireland these days, Paddy? What's that like?
Well, I don't think I could answer that, because pride doesn't come into me, because I'm so delighted to see all the people of Grange and the surrounding districts here this evening, you know, and I don't think of any individual pride, like, you know, so. But I am very proud of Mona, of course, and indeed all the rest of the grandchildren. And
does she let you wear the medal?
Not yet, but it might happen.
We're going to invite the other family members of the McSharry clan. We've heard from Morag, but the other McSharry family members are Mona's sister Luca, her mum Viola, and her dad Aidan. Would you please welcome Luca, Viola, and Aidan McSharry? Well, mum, have the feet touched the ground yet?
Yes, yeah, we're back down to earth now.
You can go back doing normal things again, can you?
Normal things, only you can't go shopping because
What happens when you go shopping?
The minute you're in the shop, somebody will come up and say congratulations, which is very nice. Which is very nice, but makes the trip much longer.
So if we see a woman in an orange wig and sunglasses in Super Value, that's probably you. Okay, okay. Aidan, you seem to enjoy yourself out there as you are a proud dad, and who wouldn't be when your daughter's winning Olympic bronze?
Yeah, no, it's a really special occasion for us to be there and watch her swim and do so well. I kind of knew what she was going to win, so it was really nice to be there and witness it, and yeah.
Well, I'm interested in this because there are probably mums and dads here in Grange or listening on the radio tonight who find it very hard to watch their son or their daughter in major competition. They can't look at the telly or on the sideline. They have to turn away. Ye seem to thrive on that environment, or am I mistaken?
We don't thrive, but we definitely watch it. But it is, it's very nerve-wracking because you know that so much work has gone into it, and any little bit that goes wrong or is just not perfect on the day is maybe make or break it. So it's very hard to watch it, but of course we watch it. It's a nice, exciting, I think.
And nobody will know more than the family members, whether it's Luca or Mum and Dad or Morak, all that Mona has gone through since she was 2'6" to tonight, to be sitting in her home village with an Olympic medal around her shoulders. Does the final destination make it seem all worthwhile?
It was definitely all worthwhile. We didn't feel that it was a sacrifice or anything. You just take it step by step, like, you know, and you go to the next level. Like, you don't look at the overall picture and say, I'm going to land at the Olympics at some stage. Like, you go to the local competitions, to the national competitions, international junior. So it kind of builds up and you don't really feel it's a big sacrifice that you have to make. You know, as long as the children are happy, it's a good thing.
Aidan, as the as the parent finally of an Olympic athlete, but just of a sports person who's competing at a high level, you know, like you've never struck me as pushy parents. You've been very supportive and there for her. I mean that, you know. Well, Mona, her eyebrows are raising. Okay, maybe the Olympic medalist has a different view. But I mean, what words of advice would you have for parents of kids who are doing well in sport, you know, because with success comes pressure and expectation. What have you learned over this journey?
Well, I guess from the start, all we wanted was Mona to be able to swim. We went on holidays and she fell into the water twice. So we said, when we get you back home, it'll be just swimming lessons. And that's all we actually wanted all along. But, and we never pushed her. Mona kind of just pushed herself. So, you know, we're just delighted. Like, she just has so much drive and she puts herself to so much. She does so well, I guess. Yeah.
You'll have to support them, not through the high times as well as the low times, like, you know, and just maybe sometimes they need a gentle nudge in the right direction to keep going, but don't be pushy. Yeah.
And just remind us again of how it started. She fell into the water on holidays in Germany or Austria?
Austria.
So describe that event, if you don't mind.
Well, I guess we stayed in the Alps there, and it was a lovely holiday place we stayed in, kind of wee cottage up the mountain. There was a big tub outside, and myself and Viola's father were there talking, and Luke Mona was beside us, and next minute I could see the wee feet sticking up. And there was actually ice on the top of this as well, and snow. So it was quite strange. We pulled her out and we says, right, be careful, don't be doing that again. And then on that same holiday, she fell in. We were down by the lake, and she fell into this wee lake we were in as well. She was standing out. So I seen the wee blonde hair under the water. I says, Jesus, I better get this girl out of here. But she seemed perfectly... I pulled her out and she wasn't... She was happy. She was actually smiling, I think, when I pulled her out. So so it's quite strange. So I says, right, it's swimming lessons now. We're going to get you, so...
And the swimming lessons worked, Viola?
They worked, yeah. We went down to Mullaghmore. It was back in the good old times in the pierhead. No, sorry, in the beach hotel with Philippe. And that's where it all started.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Luca, as the younger sis, are you proud of big sis?
Definitely. Very, very proud. Couldn't be happier. It's nice to see everyone here. It's exceptional.
Because you would have swam with her quite a lot in your youth, I'm guessing.
I would, yeah, a little bit. On the lower levels, because I was quite young compared to her at those ages. But yeah, I would be swimming with her.
Was she very contrary in the pool?
Oh, I wouldn't say that with her sitting over there now.
You get on well, though, don't you?
We do, definitely, definitely. I love my sister.
Well, it must have been a great pride seeing the medal, seeing the success.
Yeah, it's a lovely, to see the medal, to hold the medal, it's great. Like, how many people can say that? It's wonderful.
Sure. Right. Folks, it's great to have you here with us tonight. The McSherry family, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Luca.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
You stay on stage.
So to finish, I'm going to invite Mona McSherry, your Olympic bronze medalist, to address the people of Grange.
I'll get pulled down off the stage if I go any closer. No, I just want to say, look, thank you to absolutely everyone. A big special thank you first to Roisin Morric and Odrin. Like, I said it about Grace, and I'll say it about them too. Like, I would not have continued to swim without them. Like, the support that they gave me just so that I didn't have to do all the sessions by myself was just amazing. And then, like, going back to my parents who really started it all, and the support that they gave me throughout the years, like my mom driving me up and down, cooking all my meals, traveling with me for many, many long weekends to competitions where she'd be the one supporting me if I was happy or sad about whatever the result was. And giving me the light nudges when I needed them, you know, when I felt like maybe I didn't want to swim, maybe I wanted to do something else. And then that extends out into the community as well. Like, you can't do it by yourself. Like, the amount of people that are working in the background that help you, like, the people that swim in the lanes beside me in Ballyshannon Pool, the people over in Tennessee that I train with now, like the people in the shop that say hello, everyone that has ever really contacted me or like said something to me has in some way supported me and helped me along my journey. And that's just like, that's what you need, like the support of a community. And that's what I feel from everyone here, which is just great. And I just want to say thank you for all of you coming out here tonight. Like, it means so much that you're here just to support me, and I'm glad I was able to give you some excitement to watch over the last couple of weeks.
Olympic bronze medalist on the stage in Grange on Tuesday evening's homecoming, Mona McSherry. A reminder, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts, simply search for The Final Whistle or Ocean FM Sport to find it.